It's like there is this idea of the need to manage up as far as with sharing the work that you're doing. But a lot of times that doesn't happen because they don't know what's going to happen with that information. They don't know if it's helpful, if they're not getting any type of feedback. Managers are in a very peculiar position. Not only are they, providing, essentially they are a direct report when they have a supervisor, but they also have direct reports. And so they are also in this situation where not only do they need to model the behavior to the members of their team directly with them, but they also have to essentially have that same type of relationship with their supervisor as well.
Hello and welcome to the Leadership Launchpad, where we help technical managers improve themselves, their teams, and their organizations. On this show, I talk with industry leaders, coaches, authors, and experts to give you actionable insights to help improve your own performance and the performance of those around you. Almost every company I have worked for has suffered from some form of communication breakdown between the various levels of leadership. Frontline workers are doing one thing, the C-suite thinks something else is going on. I bet just about anyone who has worked in the corporate world can relate to this. That's why I was so excited to talk with our guest today, Lapora Lindsay. Lapora has a unique background, having worked with over 10 companies in a variety of industries. She is able to use these varied experiences as the foundation for her work. In 2022, she authored the book, Bottom of the Food Chain, highlighting organizational dynamics and cementing her status as a professional development trailblazer. During this discussion, you can expect to learn some of the reasons why these breakdowns in communication get started, a framework that you can start using right now to heal some of those breakdowns, as well as why if you are sitting in a company right now complaining about how upper management has no idea what's going on, chances are you need to look in the mirror. But before we get into the discussion, I do want to remind you to subscribe to this channel to make sure you never miss a future episode. And if you are already subscribed, then I would ask that you share the show with at least one other person. After all, that is how we grow. I can't tell you how much it means to me. So with that, let's get into the discussion with Lapora Lindsay. Lapora, welcome to the Leadership Launchpad. I'm so excited to have you here today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good today. It is the end of the day for me, so I'm a little tired, but I'm here. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, end of the day. We're recording right before the 4th of July, so kiddos are all out on summer break. It can be sometimes.
Yeah, it's craziness, though. My son's downstairs playing the piano. I'm like, calm down a little bit.
That's great. Well, if we hear anything, we'll know what it is. That's fantastic. Lapora, I'm excited to talk to you for a couple of different reasons. First off, your specialty is something I think you're the first person I've heard kind of talk about the specialty that you have found that I have seen at so many companies. That's kind of a breakdown in communication in the hierarchy of companies. Is that right? Could you kind of explain kind of what your niche is, of what the problems are that you've seen in an organization, and what you try to fix there?
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things that I've noticed is that there tends to be a disconnect between individuals who are in leadership roles and the operational level employees, where the leadership is being left out of these really vital conversations of getting intel as far as when employees are unhappy or reasons why they would stay and all these different things. And so I really like to go in and provide insights on how to build that connection and how to build that trust. And so that way those lines of communication can kind of reestablish themselves in an effective way.
Yeah. And it's so interesting. Because like I said, that the fact that you articulated it that way got me really excited, because it's I've definitely seen it at companies. And the interesting thing that I've found is it feels like it's every company, it's maybe in a different place. Like you said, leadership and frontline workers, but like sometimes it's, depending on how big the organization is, sometimes frontline managers, they got it. They know the information. but maybe like the senior managers don't, or maybe the senior managers do, but the directors don't. So, you know, somewhere between like the manager and the executive team, like it's always different. And you've seen the other great thing that made me so excited is this isn't just kind of anecdotal for you. You've worked at over 10 companies now because you've moved around so much and seen this. You know, what are some of the different flavors that you've seen of how those breakdowns manifest themselves?
Oh, so it manifests themselves in different ways, right? And I think that you mentioned it, Matt, when you mentioned as far as like the different variations. That was the commonality that I've seen in working at over 10 different companies within the past 15 years, is that it looks, when you're back up a little bit from it and you're looking at it full scope, it looks the same. If there are challenges, if there are issues, but when you zoom in a little bit closer, you start to see different specifics. And I'm talking about working in higher education, working in media, working in corporate, working in contracting, working in government, like all of these different things. But I would say that primary scope is that there isn't trust. And the reason why there isn't trust typically is because there is a lack of transparency. And whether that is from the frontline managers to the senior level managers or frontline to operational level, that break in that bridge of communication is typically, it spreads like wildfire, and other individuals start to act on that. And that becomes the company culture, whether or not it's part of the company values, it becomes a part of the company culture.
So it starts with a lack of trust that impedes that transparency. Mm-hmm. But the weird thing is that the weirdest thing to me with this challenge is that it's rare that people know it's happening. Like I've rarely talked to an executive that realizes they don't, like they think they understand it all. They think they know what's happening. What's that like? Like, why is it that there's this disconnect, but that the disconnect often isn't visible in a lot of organizations, or it's not visible from the inside? Because I feel like oftentimes it's not something that people realize they need to address.
Yeah, I feel like it's, oh gosh, I really wish I had the exact article where there was a question. I want to say it was Gallup or something along those lines, where they had asked a number of individuals who are in different levels of leadership roles, you know, how aware are you in the workplace? And it was probably like 80% of them said that they were aware, but then they found out that it was only 30% of individuals who were actually aware. And I think that a big part of how can we, I guess, know what we don't know type thing is honestly looking at the data, looking at the metrics. So if you feel like the company is doing well on good standing, whatever the case may be, take a look at the attrition rates. Like, what does that look like? Is there a particular time of year or after some restructuring where that number has increased? And is that different than what somebody has expected to happen? And if it is, then perhaps we are not as aware as we think we are. And then you also have things like surveys and focus groups to where you can really get that intel. And it's going to be different, but even if what you're getting from the focus groups is different than the attrition rate, then that is also something to consider, because there's also that disconnect where maybe people are just telling you what you want to hear instead of what you really need to hear, which happens a lot.
That makes sense, bringing it back to this trust idea, because, okay, so let's kind of, like, I think we can coalesce it here into kind of some of the causes of how this works is because trust is the key thing that causes the challenge. It makes it so that, you know, the people above aren't sharing information. So that's why there's a disconnect going downward. They're not sharing the information. That causes a break. That causes a lack of trust. So because of that lack of trust, the people below aren't comfortable sharing information upward. And so that's then where you get this kind of self-reinforcing cycle of the people above, wherever that break is in the organization, the people above aren't getting the information that they need in order to understand what's actually happening on the ground. And so that's kind of, again, like I said, it becomes that kind of self-reinforcing cycle. That makes a lot of sense. What are some, you know, we talk about this disconnect and, you know, maybe it can feel self-apparent that this disconnect is a bad thing. How does this manifest as problems? Like what are some of the challenges and problems that you've seen in organizations when there is this rift between, you know, between the lower level and the higher levels?
Efficiency primarily, okay. And a lot of rework, unnecessary rework, where individuals are more so just kind of keeping things to themselves. Like there is this idea of the need to manage up as far as with sharing the work that you're doing. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times that doesn't happen because they don't know what's going to happen with that information. They don't know if it's helpful, if they're not getting any type of feedback. And I think that managers are in a very peculiar position, and we'll probably talk about this a little later, but they're in this really peculiar situation because not only are they, you know, providing, essentially they are a direct report when they have a supervisor, but they also have direct reports. And so they are also in this situation where not only do they need to model the behavior to the members of their team directly with them, but they also have to essentially have that same type of relationship with their supervisor as well. But in a way that also gives them some intel as far as the different challenges and the different struggles. And it's really hard to pinpoint exactly how it will manifest itself. I mean, there are those silos of communication, but it's really hard to pinpoint just because every organization has so many different intricacies that we would need a little bit more information to say this is exactly what happens. But it goes back to that not having that intel and not having that communication because there is no trust there.
Yeah, I imagine it's kind of it places a drag on the entire organization because there isn't that information sharing. That makes a lot of sense. What you were saying earlier reminds me, listeners to the podcast have probably heard me say this before. There was a management training that I was in years and years ago, and there was this phrase from it that I will never forget where the facilitator said, "Managers are not communicated to, they are communicated through." And that a manager, a big part of your role is pushing that information both ways and acting as that conduit of not only being clear about knowing information above, what information should be shared and can be shared to the people on your team, but then from the people on your team, what information gets shared upward. And I would imagine that, I think you mentioned this before, it sounded like something that you said that can cause this challenge is an uncertainty of what is important and what information needs to be shared. Is that, did I hear that correctly?
I did. Yeah. Exactly. Like there's no... And it's like, which one comes first, like the chicken or the egg type scenario. But I think a lot of times in these companies, especially when we're talking about hierarchical structure, that they are the individuals who have some insight, right, into what is going on at the ground level, but they also have access to other parts of the company as well, where they can relay that information. And so I definitely agree with you with managers being communicated through, because they are essentially that pipeline that goes from end to end and ensuring that everything, you know, flows correctly as it should.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that makes sense. And I think we've done a good enough job kind of fleshing out the problem. I want to make sure you have a whole framework, right? I think it's called the ACT framework that you talk about. What is that?
So the ACT framework, the reason why I really like using this, I use it typically in one of my workshops called Awkward or Authentic. But the reason why I like using it is because for me personally, I feel that anyone in the organization is able to make an impact. And so specifically with this ACT model, whether you are frontline managers or senior level managers or operational level, this is something that is applicable. And you also have the ability to share with members on your team. So the A stands for awareness. And for awareness, we're talking about being aware of yourself, being aware of the person or persons that you are communicating with, And also understanding that we have influences outside of work that influence how we work. And that's not necessarily anything that you have to take action on. It's just more so of knowing that that exists. Mm-hmm. That second part is that communication piece. So now that you have an understanding that, okay, we're coming into this situation, both with our own separate stories, how can we move forward? It's communicating effectively. And essentially that is with listening and speaking. A lot of times when we talk about communication, people go straight to the just, they're wanting to share their insights. They're wanting to share their opinions. But sometimes it really is just about being silent and allowing someone else to express. And so that way we can, so that way, not only are we have that awareness, but now we probably have some support behind that as well. And then that last piece is that transparency. So it's great that you're aware and it's great that you're communicating, but if you aren't being truthful and open, then the communication and awareness aren't very helpful. And so, case in point, if there is a situation where perhaps you can't share everything in the meeting, even saying that, hey, right now I am not able to share, but as soon as I am, I will be able to share that information. Because I can almost guarantee you somebody's going to find out, right? That there's information that's not being shared. But even just saying that you can't say everything, I feel like is great.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'd love to go through kind of each of these one at a time through the frame of kind of a new manager, that frontline manager, of some tips for them at each of these stages. When it comes to awareness, that makes a lot of sense. You want to be aware of what's around you, what's impacting you, what's going on. What are some steps, do you think, and especially if somebody's just become a manager, right? They're used to being an individual contributor. They're used to, just kind of heads down doing their work. And maybe they still have some individual contributor duties. What are some things for a new manager that they need to remember to be thinking about? And obviously there's a lot of details here that are going to be different in every organization, but what are some tips for helping a new manager become more aware?
So I think one of the most important things is really just understanding the process as far as what are the individuals on that team, what process do they typically have to follow? So having an understanding of that. And that could be based off of, I don't know, reading the paperwork that's already established, attending meetings, not to say anything, right? But just to get a sense of what is typically being covered. If there is any training that the team members have to go through, then understanding what that training looks like, essentially understanding their workload. And then the other part of that, it kind of flows organically into that communication piece, is having those conversations with them, just to understand from their perspective, what does a typical day in the work look like? So now you have the opportunity to develop trust, because you're going to members of your team and you're saying, hey, what does a typical day look like for you? What does it look like when you have a high workload? What does it look like when your workload is a little bit more lighter? Just going in and asking those questions. And this is all just to gain awareness as to what to kind of expect from members of your team.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm reminded often you hear people, new leaders kind of take over a team, and some new leaders have that idea of like, I'm not going to do anything for 30 days or 60 days or whatever it is, and really make sure to kind of soak it all in. And then I'm guessing that, you know, kind of as you were talking about and alluding to sitting in those meetings, very often, even if you are somebody who was on that team and you're kind of promoted up word from within the team, and so you think you have a good handle, you have a good idea of what's going on, chances are now that you're the manager, you're going to be involved in some of those meetings where you're starting to get to understand, you know, the other dependencies around your team. Who are the people that are supplying your team? What other teams are you supplying in terms of where you fit in the overall hierarchy? So that makes sense of kind of just making sure you're spending time stepping back and absorbing as much as possible. And I love how you then mentioned that kind of then bleeds into that second step of communicate, of making sure you're communicating. Any other thoughts around communication of what kinds of things have you seen, either techniques or just pieces of information that often don't get communicated by new managers because maybe they don't realize they're important?
I feel like when new managers come on board, and this is whether the position is new or perhaps it's a backfill of another position, but they're new to that role, just really communicating what those expectations are. They're not going to always be the same just because there is a manager in that role. They could be slightly different. Mm-hmm. And also communicating your preferred methods of communication. But remember, communication is also about listening. So taking that time to have the team members to communicate their preferred methods of listening. Of course, if you have remote work, you may be limited to, you know, maybe a quick chat or email, but phone is also an option. But just understanding that. And then also setting some realistic expectations that, you know, during perhaps high volume times, depending on what preferred communication is, that may not necessarily be used. The other part of that is a lot of times we hear this, and I posted this the other day on LinkedIn. A lot of times we hear the saying of, yes, if you need me, I'm always available.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of hard to get to. So just establishing, what does it look like when you really are not available? Are there open office hours, things along those lines? So just communicating that. And so there really isn't a lot of guesswork that's needed by team members. It really, really makes a huge difference.
Yeah, that's one of the things. That's such a great example, because I think this is true as a manager. It's true in so many walks of life, is we think we're trying to be as helpful as possible by giving as many options as possible. Let me know what, if you need help, come on. Do you need any help? Like, what can I do? But really all we're doing when we say that is we're putting all the onus on the other person of like, okay, you go figure out when you think something's important enough to come to me, rather than me as the manager spending the time being like, if this happens, I want you to make sure to come and talk to me, or I am available between this time and this time. You know, again, going back to those standards of communication, I think that couldn't be more important for this kind of stuff. And I imagine it's just as important kind of going upward. If I'm a new manager and I don't know what's important to communicate, I don't want to, you know, I see my boss, they're super busy. Oh my gosh, I know they're a stressed out person. They have thousands of emails. I know for myself, I would probably kind of sit on stuff because I know that about myself. Mm-hmm. I have a tendency to sit on information for a while because I don't want to bother other people I want to like reserve it for the right moment.
And the same way.
And sometimes that works great, but, other times, I'll go on a side tangent. I remember very clearly, I was when I learned this about myself, I was at squadron officer school, where you do a lot of team exercises, where this interaction, we were doing a thing where we were doing like a scavenger hunt, and we're in a line, right? So we're running down the road in a line where the last person in line is the one that kind of like has the map or has the directions of where to go. And you have to like yell up to the front of what direction to go. And I knew 500 yards up, we were turning left. And I'm just not saying anything because it's 500 yards away. Like we're just trucking down this road. Like nobody needs to know that we're going to turn. It's no big deal. And we're going. And the person in front starts freaking out. They're like, are we turning? What are we doing? Where are we going? And afterward, we had a whole debrief. And that's where I learned that, you know, it was just like my communication style of like, I don't want to over communicate, because it's like you get the information when you need the information, everything will be fine. But that requires a trusting relationship and a relationship that builds up. And so, long story short, it all comes back to trust. And you have to talk about that and actually set up those norms of communication.
Yeah, 100%.
Transparency. I would imagine that can be tricky for managers, especially new managers, because like you mentioned earlier, there's some information that you can share. There's some information that you can't share. You kind of mentioned it before, but I don't know. Again, for new managers, what guidelines should they be? Are there any guidelines they should be thinking about how transparent to be, or is that pretty specific to the organization and the situation?
Yeah, I mean, definitely specific to the organization and then the person as well, as far as preference, honestly.
Sure.
So I'll use this as an example. This isn't necessarily a new manager, but I think that it kind of, honestly, it breaks down all of the different elements of ACT. So there was a company that I was working for now maybe 10 years ago or so, and there was a lot of conflict going on within the department. And we had had like a big departmental meeting, and the department head was like, "Hey, so I understand that we have some challenges going on between it was, I don't even want to say who it was on that part, but it was just two different groups, right?
Yeah.
That was going on. And I know that we have some solutions, but this is what the supervisor was saying, but I don't have the solution. And I feel like because you all are in the midst of it and you're dealing with it, I believe that there is someone here that has a little bit more intel than me, who can perhaps provide me with what you think is a potential solution." Hmm. And that kind of walks through the entire scope of the awareness, the communication piece, and the transparency piece. And I ended up saying something because I'm like, I know all these conversations are going on, so I'm gonna share. And long story short, it ended up being where essentially she empowered us as those team members to create our own committee, to create essentially a different outlet for when people have those complaints that maybe they're afraid to take to the supervisor. It kind of went through colleagues, trusted colleagues, on an anonymous format way, and we took it all the way up. And so that's just kind of an example of how transparency works. So it's very individualized as far as to what detail, but at the same time, it's you don't have to be completely vulnerable to lead with vulnerability. You know, it's just demonstrating some of it as far as those areas that you need help, but also realizing that I know the solution. I know there is a solution, but I may not necessarily be the person who can provide that solution.
Yeah. And that's a really, I'm sure for new managers, for all managers, all leaders, that's a really big realization to have, because I think we as a society, very often the idea of what a leader is the person with the answers.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest myths to dispel about leadership, is that it's not about having the answers. It's about being good at finding the answers, yeah. Right? And finding the people that have the answers. I'm actually, as you're just talking there, I remembered this, I'm in the middle of listening to an interview with Ivanka Trump. And politics aside, I don't know, everybody's got different politics, but it's a very interesting conversation to listen to. And part of the conversation was talking about like construction sites and buildings and managing big projects, and how important it is to know who, you know, consistently asking questions and knowing who to go to ask questions. And that it's very often the people on the ground, of kind of like in exactly that setting of just developing a culture where you're used to going out, seeking out answers from as many people as possible, because you never know where the right answer is going to come from. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
absolutely. And it goes back to that awareness piece too. Right, that being aware that you're not going to be the one that necessarily is going to be like problem solution, but you know what I mean. So just having that knowledge.
And it's interesting, looping back to the very beginning of this conversation too. I can imagine that most, if you are in an organization, if you're a manager. Because we entered this conversation where I'm sitting here thinking, like, very often I see this break somewhere above the manager level. You know, there's some break between executives and lower level, and people aren't know what's going on. And so chances are there's somebody listening to this right now. They're a manager. They're feeling this on their team. They think their organization, executives are all out of touch. They never know what's going on. But as you mentioned at the very beginning of this conversation, so much of this is cultural, and there is some kind of lack of transparency, some miscommunication that causes a break in trust, and then it has this ripple effect. And so if you are a manager sitting there saying, executive team doesn't know what's going on, I bet chances are you need to really be somebody that double check that, again, is aware of your own actions to right. make sure you're not a part of that problem. Maybe the executive team doesn't have anything to know what you're doing, but how do you know that you have any clue what's going on with your team? Are you simply mirroring the people above you and causing just as many breaks in the communication chain going down as you feel there are upwards? So, I think I'd never quite thought about that before, but I think that cultural element, the ripple effects of this, make that awareness piece extra critical. If you're somebody who thinks there's problems above you, chances are you might have a problem as well.
Absolutely. Because, there's a mirror for a reason. Like, we have the opportunity to really use it and to be reflective. And I think, frontline managers or managers of any sort, like, there's this very unique position that they're put in where they have the opportunity to hone those relationships for a manager to direct report, to where those team members now have the opportunity to witness what it means to have somebody that they're working a part of that's aware, that's communicating and transparent. They have the opportunity to witness that in live time. And then also, as that frontline manager, you have the opportunity to strengthen your relationship with your supervisor. And in doing so, perhaps also get a little bit of intel when you are hesitant to share something with your supervisor, keeping that in mind that, well, if I'm hesitant to share, or if I'm feeling like, as you said, Matt, that my supervisor is missing the mark, there's also the chance that, the individuals on my team could also feel like I'm missing the mark. And so going back to what would I want, and not necessarily doing that for the team, but just maybe using that as a platform to do a little bit more delving, do a little bit more check-ins that aren't formal, to kind of get down to the basis of it.
Yep, that totally makes sense. Well, I think that went really full circle, so I think that's a good place to end. Any other final thoughts, or where can people, if people want to get in touch with you, where should they go?
So they're welcome to my website, which is laporalindsay.com. And I'm also Lapora Lindsay on LinkedIn and Facebook. So they can reach out to me there and I'll be happy to hold a conversation.
Excellent. Well, thank you for this conversation. I thought it was really great. I love talking about this topic because I think it is a major one in a lot of organizations. So thank you so much for being here, Lapora, and have a great 4th of July.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. You too.
Thank you so much for listening to today's show. If you are looking for help turning your organization's great engineers into great managers, me and my team at Better Everyday Studios would love to help. We deliver targeted and interactive training workshops that are designed to help build the three fundamental skills of any new manager: building trust, giving feedback, and setting goals. Reach out to me through matt@bettereverydaystudios.com so we can start making your organization better every day.